Well, thank you, Sheila. Definitely continue to keep Sheila in, in your prayers and in the school there as they work to not only teach people the fundamentals of education, but also about the wonderful Savior that was born 2,000 years ago. So please keep Sheila in your prayers as she considers her next move and how God might use her into the future. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the awesome God that you are, Lord, that you would even want to know us, that you would even desire to have a relationship with us. It's really quite amazing. But Lord, that you would send your Son to die for us. It's incomprehensible. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together to worship you, to think about how glorious you are. Lord, I just pray that today as we sit around this table in fellowship and as we go throughout our day, Lord, that we would just be continually reminded that we serve an awesome God, and that you alone are worthy of our praise. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was considering and pondering what God would have, what message God would have me to give to you this morning, this week, I just continually had this overwhelming sense of amazement that God would create this awesome, wonderful, perfect world and then allow us to live in it. I mean, and make us the crown of His creation. And make us into His image. It was just kind of a... still to this minute, just baffles me that God would allow us to live in the best, wonderful world that's ever been created. So I wrote this illustration to kind of capture this this feeling, if you will. The title of my message is "The Wonder That God Loves Me." And my opening illustration is this: God created the universe so massive that we can't measure it, so minute we can't detect it, with such beauty we can't behold it, with such complexity we can't understand it. It's so powerful we can't gauge it. It's so awesome we can't describe it. It's so unique we can't compare it. So precise we can't calculate it. So vivid we don't notice it. So colorful we can't see it. And with such variety that we can't count them all. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God's creation is so spectacular. It's so wonderful and amazing. We see in Genesis that God created the world in 7 days, and then He looked at it, and God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. It's like an artist, I'm sure Nicole, when she gets done with a painting and she looks at it, and she's like, "Wow, that's really cool." God looked back at everything that He had done and said, "Wow, that's really cool." Nehemiah said, "You alone are the Lord. You made heaven and earth. You made the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. God said to the prophet Isaiah, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." It's so overwhelming sometimes that we would have people that would look at this creation. There's a quote I read. Abraham Lincoln once said that it doesn't surprise me that people can look at this world and be an atheist. But he said, "I cannot comprehend how people could look up into the sky and say there is no God. The heavens declare the glory of God." Maybe you've heard about the gorilla in a zoo holding a Bible in one hand and a book about evolution in the other. He was looking confused, and so someone asked, "What are you doing?" And the gorilla answered, "Well, I'm trying to decide if I'm my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother." But, yeah, it's not really that funny. I just thought it was kind of cute. But Job chapter 12, Job says that even the animals know of their Heavenly Father, of their Savior, or of the God. Job 12, 7 through 10 says, "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you. Ask the birds of the air, and they will teach you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. And the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Ian Coate writes, "Nature is the greatest production ever seen by audiences everywhere. It is performed on a universal stage where animals, insects, plants, and even we are just a few of the actors. We should take time out of our busy schedules to appreciate God's natural show. It is being enacted around us 24/7. No bookings are necessary. Good seats are guaranteed, and tickets have all been paid for by the host. Few things are more pleasing to producers than seeing a full house enjoying their production. In nature's living, interactive play, God is the host, writer, director, producer, plus costume and set designer. And during this once-in-our-lifetime performance, God is infinitely busy backstage. However, because He created time and space, He still finds time to peep from behind His heavenly curtain to appreciate the audience's enjoyment of His natural production. At the closing sunset of each day, we too should show our appreciation for our divine Creator's work with a rousing mental applause to acknowledge and glorify His creative genius." We see that in 7 days, God created the heavens and the earth. And they were beautiful. They were wonderful. On day one, He created the heavens and the earth. On day two, He created the sky. On day three, He created dry land and all the plant life. Day four, He created all the stars in the heavens. Day five, He created all of life that lives in the water and all the birds. And day six, He created all of the creatures that live on dry land. But He wasn't done yet. He had a special creation in mind. Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. After church, a little boy tells his parents he has to go talk to the minister right away. They agree, and the pastor greets the family. "Pastor," the little boy says, "I heard you say today that our bodies came from the dust, and when we die, our bodies go back to the dust." "Yes, I'm glad you were listening. Why do you ask?" The little boy replied, "Well, you had better come over to our house right away and look under my bed, because someone is either coming or going." Isaiah records the words of the Lord. He says, "Thus says the God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and a spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. And I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." David described God's working in his life. He said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows them very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you." David said that we can't even count the times God thinks about us. He loves us so much. But there are many people who have denied God. They said, "We don't need God anymore. And if you believe in God, that just shows you're not that intelligent." Well, there was a scientist one time, and he approached God. And he said to him, "God, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing. We can now do what you did in the beginning." "Oh, is that so?" replied God. "Yes," said the scientist. "We can take dirt and form it into human likeness and breathe life into it, thus creating man." "Well, that's very interesting," God said. "Show me." So the scientist reached down and he grabs a handful of dirt and he starts to mold the soil into the shape of a man. And said, God interrupts and says, "No, no, no. Go get your own dirt." Now, science is nowhere close to being able to take dirt and turn it into a human being. But the reality is, God started with nothing. And he made you. And he loves you. Psalm 8 says, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." So we see that God made this wonderful world and everything that is in it. And he blessed it. And then he made man, and he gave man dominion over all the earth. and then blessed man. But man broke the special bond with his Creator. He broke the fellowship with God Almighty. And in doing so, he cursed himself and the entire world that was under his dominion. But God would not let his creation be ruined. He would not let man be destroyed by sin. God had already devised a plan to save his people, a plan that would show the depths of his love for those he had made. He planned to give his own son as a sacrifice to redeem those who he lost from sin. We see that God gave us a gift. We didn't deserve it. We deserved nothing like it. God had set up this beautiful creation, and he gave it to us to manage and to rule over. And we just disobeyed him. But God gave us a gift. Romans chapter 3 says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." He wanted to remain just because God is holy. And because God is holy, he must be holy. God is just, and therefore he must be just. But he also wanted to justify his people. He wanted to save his people. You. And so he sent his son to be our propitiation. John 3:16, we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He gave us a gift. He said, "I don't want you to be destroyed by sin. I want to save you." And so he sent his son. In closing, we see that God created the universe so massive that we can't measure it, so minute that we can't detect it, with such beauty that we can't behold it, with such complexity that we can't understand it, so powerful we can't gauge it, it's so awesome we can't describe it, so unique we can't compare it, so precise we can't even calculate it, so vivid we don't even notice it, so colorful we can't see it, with such variety we can't count them all. And after this, we made a mess of his perfect creation. And he came to us because we couldn't come to him. He paid a debt for us we could not pay. And then he comforted our sorrows and calmed our fears and said, "Don't worry about this old world. I was going to make a new one anyway." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you are amazing. You are wonderful. And oh, that we would sing of your mercies all the day long. Oh, that we would tell others of a wonderful, powerful Savior that you are. Lord, I pray that our lives would reflect our gratitude. And thank you for all that you have done for us, both during this season and all the year long. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.